How does charity mix with the tax overhaul? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Today it's called Giving Tuesday, the nonprofit world's answer to Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Well, what about philanthropy, given the new tax law that could dampen the incentive to give? Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino reports.
During the end-of-the-year fundraising push, the Los Angeles-based Union Station Homeless Services, like a lot of charities, was used to playing up the tax benefit of a donation.
You know, we certainly remind people of that.
But CEO Ann Miske says this year, it's a little more complicated. Tens of millions of people may no longer see an incentive to donate for a tax break because the new tax code makes it more attractive to take the standard deductions instead of itemizing. It matters, but not so much, Miske says, for the wealthiest donors.
Really, it is those mid-level, middle-class donors where these tax laws are really going to affect them. And that is of concern to us.
So groups are working to educate donors about ways to maximize tax benefits. One trend, growing interest in donor-advised funds. Philanthropy advisor Chris Putnam-Walkerly says bunching multiple years of donations into one give to support projects over several years can be claimed as a one-time deduction.
I would describe it as an alternative to starting a foundation.
So with a little creativity and some good old-fashioned altruism, she says, givers are going to give. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
We learned today that house and condo prices are still going up, but that rise is tapering down. Today's calculation of 20 U.S. cities by S&P Case-Shiller CoreLogic shows the slowest year-on-year increase since early 2017. Jay Bryson is Managing Director and Global Economist at Wells Fargo Securities. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, good morning, David.
All right, so home prices are still going up. But each month, it seems, we get this data that they're not going up quite as fast as the previous month. I mean, that fits into the overall picture we're getting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you know, at best, it looks like the housing market has kind of stalled here recently. Higher mortgage rates are having an effect on affordability, and prices in many parts of the country have gone up. And so we are seeing some signs of slowing, certainly, in the housing market right now.
Housing market, but are you seeing signs beyond that?
There are some signs that maybe there is some little bit slower growth. I mean, if you look at the, you know, the most recent data on durable goods orders, they came in a little bit softer than expected. And in general, our estimates of GDP growth in the fourth quarter are somewhere around 2.5%. Now, 2.5% is not bad, but it's not 3 like it was in the third quarter, and it's not 4 like it was in the second quarter. So, you know, there's a little bit of a deceleration going on in the economy right now.
And you know who knows a lot about this are the members of the Federal Reserve and the vice chair, Richard Clarida. He's been speaking this morning, but a lot of the other Fed folks are making public appearances. I assume you'll be watching carefully.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think there's a number of Fed governors who will be on the wires this afternoon, but I think the big one tomorrow will be Chairman Powell. He has a speech tomorrow morning, which will be widely anticipated to see if he gives any signs of, you know, what the Fed's thinking here and what sort of how they're going to react with monetary policy.
Jay Bryson at Wells Fargo Securities. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're also covering the 14,000 planned layoffs of union and management people at General Motors amid a move away from slower-selling sedans in favor of SUVs and pickup trucks and toward electric and self-driving vehicles. Smartphones that summon car services or unlock shared vehicles are part of the context, as are tariffs and counter-tariffs, the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed if you miss our coverage on the air. The legendary newspaper columnist Jimmy Breslin got assigned President Kennedy's funeral 55 years ago this month. That heart-wrenching event was covered by thousands of reporters who watched the procession in D.C. But in a famous piece, Breslin was the only one to spend the day with the gravedigger at Arlington National Cemetery. Today, a business story connecting that cemetery with a quarry in Barre, Vermont, where most of that stone is now sourced. Susan Kaplan is the reporter.
It's early, around 7:30 in the morning, but I can hear sandblasters the second I walk into Granite Industries. Orders for headstones at Arlington arrive electronically from the VA almost every day. Phil Poyer looks closely at pictures of virtual grave markers on a computer screen. He then carefully transfers the soldiers' information onto stencils for engraving and sandblasting. Poyer says the work is extremely precise.
The names are normally inch and an eighth. If the names are too long, they got to be at least an inch from the side. Otherwise, they'll break out when they sandblast.
Several veterans work in the factory. For 18 years, Army veteran Robert McCallum's worked the line. McCallum's proud of the work he does. His father and grandfather were in the service. So for him, working on the grave markers is personal.
We do the best job we can, you know, to supply the best product we can for the families and loved ones that, you know, have to go to the cemetery.
The Arlington Cemetery contract is competitive, and occasionally other stone providers have been chosen. Eric Powell directs the VA's Headstone Marker Program in D.C. and oversees the production of some 360,000 headstones annually. The government pays for the work, about $350 a marker. He says only two quarries in the country, the one here in Vermont and one in Georgia, meet the agency's standards. Arlington Cemetery does its own check to make sure the stones look uniform.
Once they receive it, to ensure that, yes, it meets the quality control that we have put in place.
Granite Industries estimates that over the decades, it's provided roughly 130,000 headstones for Arlington National Cemetery. In Barrie, Vermont, I'm Susan Kaplan for Marketplace.
Our producers are Victoria Craig, Michael Lipkin, Janaki Mehta, Daniel Shin, and Sasha Woodruff. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.